Hello and warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV from our Tehran headquarters. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The fifth week of protests started in Paris on Saturday in defiance of President Macron's government's call to stay home. Seven people have lost their lives and hundreds have been arrested, with 8,000 police forces clashing with ralliers using tear gas and water cannon. To ease the tension, President Macron made promises on Monday to raise the minimum wage and not to tax overtime working hours. Initially, yellow vests were protesting fuel price hikes, but now it's developed into an anti-establishment revolt calling for constitutional amendments to protect the interests of the people. Now, where will the protests lead to? Is Macron likely to give further concessions? Let's start with a report on the yellow vest protest movement.
Protests and clashes for the fifth consecutive weekend. What started as a simple rally against fuel price hikes now has become a constant headache for the French government. The Yellow Vest demonstrators say the new round of rallies is in fact the fifth act of their anti-government protests. And of course, a violent one. People say what leaders of the country represent is nothing like democracy.
Parce qu'on en a marre qu'on nous dise qu'il n'y a plus de pognon pendant qu'on gave ces gens-là, on fait que les gaver depuis le début. Ça n'a plus rien à voir avec le processus de représentation démocratique.
The protesters want to make it clear that they are not happy with President Emmanuel Macron's economic policies and want him to resign.
Le Français aujourd'hui, il est dans la rue parce qu'il a envie, en fin de compte, de vivre dans la dignité, c'est-à-dire de pouvoir élever ses enfants sans aide de l'État, sans être sans arrêt subventionné. Et je pense que c'est ça le mouvement Gilets jaunes.
The protest movement, which has morphed into an anti-establishment revolt, is now calling for constitutional amendments to protect the interests of the people. Protesters accuse Macron's government of being detached from the everyday struggles of the workers. For his part, the French president has acknowledged that he is partially responsible for the anger and has announced a series of measures aimed at improving French workers' spending power.
I heard what they wanted to express in a sincere manner, and I gave a response, a short-term response, and one that is also geared towards the desire to organize a dialogue, which is one of the most vibrant aspects of our democracy.
He, however, refused to reinstate a wealth tax that was lifted to spur investment in France. The president insists that he has heard the protesters' concerns. Defending his promises to speed up tax relief, Macron dismissed calls for his resignation. People say Macron has not been able to make good on his promises. They say since he comes from a wealthy background, he can't relate to the challenges people with low income face in France. The anti-government protests are apparently becoming a trend in Europe. And the yellow vest is the symbol. People in several European countries like Belgium, Greece, the Netherlands and the UK say they're tired of their government's austerity measures and the way they pressure the citizens. But judging by what's rocking France's streets, more European governments may also face the same alarming situation in the coming weeks.
With that report, let's now begin today's debate. Joining me in this edition will be lecturer with Coventry University, Kenneth Farrow from London, and crowdfunded professor of economics on Patreon and author of Debunking Economics, Steve Keen, who's joining us from Amsterdam. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us. Beginning with Kenneth Farrow, the protests began over fuel tax increases, but now protesters are calling for constitutional amendments to protect the interests of the people. What do you think is the reason for this transformation?
Well, I think we have to actually go into this situation much deeper than the beginning over the past 5 weeks. Over the past two decades, France's economy has been in decline. We're at a situation where more and more people are feeling the pressure, certainly recently in terms of austerity and the huge economic crisis that's spread across Europe. So the roots of this are in the way that France has been governed, in the way that business is running in France, and obviously in the way that France relates to global capital. Now, the situation with France in particular, and the reason that the French have taken this turn, is obviously there's a history of resistance and revolution in France, and we can perhaps go into that a bit later. But my take on this is that this is a spark at the moment, which could actually turn into a flame. And we have to monitor the situation. The fact that it's the spirit of Jean is spreading is something that's obviously going to concern some European governments, but at the moment they're not really taking it that seriously, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's cross over to Amsterdam to Steve Keen. Protesters accuse President Emmanuel Macron's government of being detached from the everyday struggles that the workers are facing in the country. Is there any truth in this?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at what Macron's policies are, he really is, I would call, the last of the neoliberal leaders. And he really thought that the problem with France was that it had regulated labor markets, too many guarantees for workers, inflexibility, etc., etc. And that's the same formula that Thatcher and Reagan themselves applied to their own economies. Their economies comparatively boomed after their policies came into effect. But the real cause of the boom had nothing to do with those labor regulations. It was about unleashing a credit bubble from the financial sector, which of course is what led to the 2008 financial crisis. Now Macron is trying exactly the same program fundamentally, but after the financial crisis, and is probably totally unaware that during this whole process, France's level of private debt has risen from something in the order of 130% of GDP to 200%. And that's what's underwritten his increase in performance. Rather, France's economic performance for the last 10 or so years, but that's running out. And at the same time, of course, people are squeezed by the extra debt they've got. They're squeezed by now his policies, which are cutting minimum wages and so on. And I think this was pushing them from the point where they're just able to stay above water, but only barely, to where they're below water. And when that happens, your reaction is violent. And that's what's happened with the Yellow Jackets.
Now back to London, Kenneth Rowe. Some people call President Emmanuel Macron president of the rich. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think they're looking at his background, the fact that he's come from a business background, and his policies, the policies have implemented in terms of reeling back the taxes in terms of the rich, or the capitalist class, which very much dominates France. But I think we really have to understand the depth of the feeling in France, not just in terms of austerity and their current economic climate. There's a real sense in France when you walk around now and over the past 4 or 5 years, and I've been there quite often, that people are absolutely fed up with the situation there. And I think the generation, the younger generations, looking at the history of France, and we have to remember that this year is the anniversary of 1968, of the student uprising in France, which came through in terms of supporting workers, and I think we've seen some elements of that happening over the past week to 2 weeks. So the resistance that's coming through in terms of people's feelings is not just about the economy, although it's obviously something that touches people very fundamentally. I think there's a certain sense of France having lost its way. I think there's a sense of some of the elements of the French state being out of control. And of course, the history and the spirit of 1968 is very there. It is there very strongly visually. If you look at the protests, if you look at the slogans they're using, if you look at how they treat elements of the state, their reactions against the police, their reactions against the fact that there are troops now on the streets of Paris, their reactions in terms of their attacks on property. This is all an echo of 1968.
Mm-hmm. Steve Keen, let's now look a bit more widely, go beyond France. You know, smaller but similar protests have erupted in Belgium and the Netherlands. Are these signs of pandemic problems in Europe?
It is endemic, and the reason is that the aftermath of the financial crisis, the governments of the world rescued the banks rather than rescuing the people. And the financial pressure people were under was bad enough before the financial crisis, particularly where austerity has been opposed, and of course that's the UK and most of Europe, particularly the southern states, and of course including France. The impact of austerity has made people's lives much more difficult just at that absolute bottom of the level of the income income status, and that now includes people like university lecturers. It isn't just manufacturing workers who are getting low wages. It's what David Graeber calls the caring classes, high school teachers, doctors, even in some cases nurses. They're the ones who are suffering, as well as the working class, as well as the usual industrial, now what's called precariat. So this is a phenomenon across the whole of Europe. Of course, it's much stronger in France because France has an outstanding tradition of protesting, as the other speakers pointing out. And that is something which the rest of the country, Europe doesn't do so well. So it's no wonder that it's happened first in France. It'll be copied elsewhere, but it will be still done best by the French.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's go to Kenneth Farrow. You know, on Monday, to start the protests, President Macron announced a package of measures estimated by economists to cost 15 billion euros. Now, Macron has canceled, planned fuel tax hikes. He offered a raise in the minimum wage and also tax relief for pensioners, as well as tax-free overtime for workers beginning as of January 2019. Still, it seems that protesters are not appeased by these concessions, are they?
That's right. No, they're not appeased. And I think the situation with France now is that people have been pushed right to the limit economically, in terms of living habits, in terms of the investment of the state in society, the investment of the state in terms of buildings and structures, the investment of the state in terms of any hope for the youth, for the future. So all of this has built up over the past 2 to 3 decades. So it's no surprise that when Macron offers these kind of tidbits, that people are refusing, because I think they have a sense now, they have a feeling of what's possible. And once people take to the streets, once they have that feeling of freedom, then they begin to question very fundamental issues around how they're living. And then it becomes not just an issue of the wage, but of how you live and how you want your family to progress into the future. So I think this is turned into something beyond just making some adjustments to policies in terms of wages, in terms of social structure of the state. It's much bigger than that, and I think that's why it's escalating, and that's why the majority of people in France, according to all the press and all the reports, tend to support these protests, despite the reporting, which tends to frame it in terms of violence only. Of course, there's violence there as an expression against repression. But clearly, there's a structural violence that people have been under for the past 2 decades, a structural violence that puts people into the position where they can't eat properly. It puts people into the position where they have no hope, no future. And economy is tied to culture. Economy is tied to politics. And that's why you can't separate the two. You can't simply offer some small adjustments and hope that it will go away.
Uh-huh. Steve Keen, let's now get into more details. What factors, in your opinion, have been responsible for the unfavorable economic situation in France?
Well, in one word, it's the euro and the Maastricht Treaty behind it, which has restricted the extent to which governments can finance themselves by their own capacity to create money, which every government with its own currency has. The euro abandoned that capacity. And then it also put the countries which had abandoned their own national currency into a range of straitjackets. The major straitjacket, of course, being that government debt was not supposed to exceed 60% of GDP, and government deficit was not supposed to exceed 3% of GDP. They were put forward as disciplines which would improve the economy, and the actual document was called the Stability and Growth Pact. Well, I think you couldn't get a more ironically titled document than that, because it's been instability and stagnation has been the result of it. So this is all a failed, largely neoliberal, I know people that deny the word exists, but it's the best way to describe it, neoliberal policy set. And Macron has come in at the very end of it as the champion of a neoliberal approach. But the only reason he was really elected was he wasn't Marine Le Pen. So he's gone in triumphantly. We know the whole Don Jupiter nonsense he started with. But he's trying to get the economy to revive following a policy which actually reduces the level of GDP. Well, it's been about as successful as you can expect, and because people have been pushed to the edge by 10 years of austerity now since the crisis occurred, that's why they're on the streets and doing it as pretty much only the French can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kenneth, people are on the streets. Many tourist attractions are shut in fear of, you know, violent protests that have happened the past 4 or 5 weeks. Several thousand security forces have been deployed to the streets only today, 8,000 only in Paris. Businesses have been closed. All this is costly for the country. What's best for the government to do in order to prevent further losses from being made, be it human losses or financial ones?
Well, I think the government has to listen to the will of the people, and clearly the people are telling Macron he needs to go. Now, Macron is not the problem as an individual. Of course, he pushes through these policies, but Macron is part of a whole class of people, and the danger is obviously that this goes on and Macron is replaced by somebody else. I think what we're seeing now in terms of the calls for constitutional change are a real question that the French state will have to take on in the coming weeks. So I don't think it's a question of just Macron going. I think there are much more fundamental questions that are being asked in terms of reorganizing society, reorganizing the economy, so that it works for the people. Mm-hmm. And I think, as the other speaker said, that the French have got a history of workers organizing, and the French people have got a history of revolution. If you think about 1789, the French Revolution, if you think about the communards in 1871, who took control of Paris for 3 months, I think this kind of history and spirit of the people in France is what we're seeing today. So I don't think we can just define it in terms of adjustments to the economy. I think we have to look at it in terms of what the will of the people is. And clearly the will of the people now is for Macron to go, but I don't think that will be enough for them, because I think they've tasted freedom.
Now, let's go to Amsterdam and ask Steve. Steve, do you believe that Macron should go? That's just like what Kenneth thinks, and or what?
Yes, he should go. The only reason he got elected was he was not Marine Le Pen, as I said earlier. And he's imposing a program which made him the poster boy of Brussels. They really, because he's such an attractive candidate and came out of nowhere, Brussels are really hoping that he could lead a revival of the economy and a revival of the EU's fortunes after what it did to Greece. Well, so much for that. There's no way you can revive an economy when your economic program, which is dictated by Brussels and its rules in the Maastricht Treaty and so on, when the program actually is economically causing you to collapse unless you're running a large trade surplus, which is Germany's benefit from having a lower rate, inflation rate than France and Italy. France is basically not getting a trade surplus at all. It's been forced to impose austerity, and its credit levels, its debt levels are so high now that credit growth is disappearing as well. So it's a perfect storm for the failure of the policies of the European Union. And I think it's not only the case that Macron has to go, the euro has to go as well, or it has to be supplemented by a tax credit which can enable people to spend, because fundamentally the economy is not turning over because not enough money is being created, and that's due to the rules of the European Union.
Okay, one last question for both of you gentlemen. Kenneth, given the circumstances, do you predict an escalation or easing of the tension in France? Briefly, please.
Well, briefly, I think we have to look at the history of these situations in France, and I've pointed to the past. It's difficult to say what's going to happen. There are certain factors coming in, but I think at the moment there's a strength for those people to continue to protest, to continue to demand for what is their basic human right, which is the right to live, the right to eat, and the right to have some hope for their children for the future.
Okay, Steve, what do you think? Do you predict an escalation or an easing of the tension in France?
Well, I think it's more likely to continue on because, as Kenneth has said, France has a proud history of revolt from the bottom up, and this is yet another one of those. Can it be assuaged by just a small amount of money to get you from drowning to just being able to get a bit of air and a bit of water in your mouth at the same time? I doubt it. It's more likely to embolden the protests and say, we've got this far, let's keep on going. You can see that in the extra demands they put forward in their manifesto. So I think it may well be the grassroots rebellion that leads to the end of the euro. And that's the most necessary thing to free Europe from its current trap.
Okay, let me thank you both gentlemen for joining us. We're running out of time. The Way Ahead lecturer with Coventry University, Kenneth Froh, who joined us from London, and also crowdfunded professor of economics on Patreon and author of Debunking Economics, Steve King, who joined us out of Amsterdam. Also, we thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.